What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Close your eyes, exhale, feel your body relax, and let go of whatever you're carrying today.
Well, I'm letting go of the worry that I wouldn't get my new contacts in time for this class. I got them delivered free from 1-800-CONTACTS. Oh my gosh, they're so fast.
And breathe.
Oh, sorry. I almost couldn't breathe when I saw the discount they gave me on my first order. Oh, sorry. Namaste.
Visit 1-800-CONTACTS.com today to save on your first order.
1-800-CONTACTS.
My dad taught me a lot, including how easy it is to forget to cancel things. So I downloaded Experian, my BFF, big financial friend. Experian could help me cancel my unused subscriptions and lower my bills, saving me hundreds a year. Get started with the Experian app today. Your big financial friend's here to help you save smarter. Results will vary. Not all bills or subscriptions eligible. Savings not guaranteed. $631 a year. Average savings with one plus negotiations and one plus cancellations. Paid membership with connected payment account required. See Experian.com for details.
Experian.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Hunting Gear Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Johnson, and today we are joined by fellow Sportsman's Empire podcaster, Brian Krebs. Brian, what's up, man?
Not much, just living the dream, looking forward to doing some shed hunting this weekend and having a good time.
Yeah. Here, this is a restart. We had a little microphone issue before. Restarts always suck because the first go around is, it's always awesome. Everybody's nailing everything. And then the on the restart, whenever there's a tech issue, people are like, I just exactly said this. It's not as cool the second time. So we're past that though.
Yeah. Luckily it was right away.
Right away. Yep. Absolutely. Okay. Before we get into today's episode though, we are going to talk about your other two podcasts, the Western Rookie and the Two Bucks podcast. I feel like it's important because this topic that we're going to be covering today kind of transfers over to what you're doing this time of year as far as planning out-of-state hunts, planning Western hunts. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what the Western Rookie podcast is?
Yeah, so the Western Rookie Podcast is, it's really intended for anyone that's looking to get more into Western hunting, whether you've done a little bit of it and you're looking for new seasons or maybe new states to go after, or maybe you're just that Midwest whitetail guy that's always dreamed about going on an elk hunt, but you don't know where to start. Mm-hmm. We cover kind of everything from tactics in the field to planning, how to get tags. We cover a little bit of what gear is helpful, especially when it comes up. And then right now we're obviously doing a massive bonus series, just covering like every application when they're coming up, the deadlines, what you need to know. Cause obviously the biggest thing going out west is getting a tag.
Yeah.
And so we got that series launching like as we speak, you know, almost every week or every other week, we got a new application coming up. It's that season.
Right. You're crushing it over there, man. I appreciate all the awesome content. I mean, it's not just your regular podcast. It is really entertaining, but at the same time, the information that you share, it's necessary information about when to apply, how to apply. That is the type of stuff that I wish I knew back in 2014, back in 2000, I believe it was 13 or 14 when I started hunting outside of Iowa. So 10 years ago, and all the trips that I took, I wish I knew all of that stuff so I could have prepped to have either preference points or whatever the case may be. So,
yeah, it's a big topic. I'm an engineer, so I have numbers and sheets all over the place. And I was just updating because I bought some Colorado points for me and my wife. And I think I just broke 100 points across the West.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Well, is it? I don't know. It's a lot of money I got.
Yeah, exactly. Points. Look at it like it's a savings account, right?
Yeah, it's an investment account in future hunts, really, is what it is.
Yeah. So what stack of preference points are you the most excited to spend someday?
Ooh, Utah. Utah elk, I think. And it's going to take a long time, but I think Utah – like on a per capita basis cranks up more 400 inch bulls than any other state.
Yeah.
Is
this a go big or go home type collection?
Utah is. Yeah. Utah is 100% long game. I'll be 55 when I draw that tag.
Rifle or archery?
It depends. Archery's a little easier to draw, but when I see a bull elk and I got a rifle, it's like that elk is dead.
Yeah.
Most of the time, unless there's like a boundary issue, but it's that confidence of having a 300 Win Mag instead of a bow, especially, right. With a 400 inch bull, like you're not going to get two opportunities. At least I'm not. Other right. people for sure. But
yeah. Yeah. I don't know. A lot of it depends on where you're hunting too. What kind of pressure, all that stuff. If it's the herd bull, right. Cause herd bulls are so hard to get in on, but at least that's not from experience. That's regurgitated information that I've learned other places. So, okay. Talk to us a little bit about the Two Bucks podcast real quick.
So that's my like little playground. Like I said before, I'm an engineer. I'm an entrepreneur. I like designing stuff. I like launching products. And so the Two Bucks was really my break into the podcasting scene. I wanted to do something in the outdoors. I didn't want to be like another Midwest rut guy. And there's a lot of people that are probably better at that anyway than me. But I loved business and I loved outdoors. And so I was like, well, there's not really an outdoor business podcast out there. And so we just have different entrepreneurs on every week, whether they're content creators, service guys like guides, photographers, or product people. And we just talk about how they got into it, how the dream came to be, some of the things they've learned along the way. And really the goal is just to inspire people that if you've been like telling yourself you'd love to hunt fish for a living, you know, there's no excuse to not. Like, it's possible for anyone. And I just want to help people get there.
That's awesome, man. I love that, because so many people, especially me, throughout however long I've been doing this, every month, every week, sometimes there's guys reaching out to me. He's like, dude, what do I have to do to get my foot in the door? And I say, you know, depending on my mood that day, I always give a different answer. So
pick a different door.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so we're going to set some parameters on today's episode. And that is, we're going to talk about non-hunting, this is kind of long, non-hunting related gear for hunting trips. And the parameters are, as soon as you leave camp, or as soon as you leave your truck to go hunt somewhere, none of that stuff that you take with you can be included on this topic. Is that,
yeah,
you understand that?
Yeah, it looks like a good topic.
Okay. Why don't you go ahead and kick it off, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, so the first thing, I'm going to do a little shameless plug here, because I think, like, the most important, like, we're, what the goal here really, I assume, is to, like, success, right? Like, right. It's all related to being more successful. Like, things that can help you that you might not think about.
And I want to add something to that real quick. Yes, and maybe be comfortable in the environment that you're in.
And I think that's huge to success.
Yeah.
You know, so that's, I got a couple here that are really on that comfort basis. But the first one is, like, make sure you park the truck in the right spot. And I think that can all be summarized with, like, what we kind of talked about with Western Rookie, especially for Western trips, is, like, all this information that I've acquired, basically, it's coming from Go Hunt. Like, it's your one-stop shop for learning everything you need to know about hunting the West, finding tags, draw odds. There's a lot of gear out there, too, filtering. So many cool things you can learn and Go Hunt. I think that's big. It's not really gear, but it's a big tool in my toolbox. And it happens to be that right now they're launching a huge sale over at Go Hunt where they'll give you $100 back on free gear. So that really ties in here as well. You can find some of this gear we're talking about when you sign up using the code Western, which is an Empire podcast. So that's big. I think just like being in the right spot sets up for a lot for success. But the things that I go to that are non-gear related hunting things that like get into my truck when I leave the house, but they don't come out of my truck when I hit the field. A lot of them really are, like you said, related to like that comfort aspect, because like if you're not sleeping, if you're not eating, you're going to fizzle out really fast.
Right.
And so the sleep systems are the ones that I really get into. So if you're backpacking, like obviously that's on you.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little bit different topic. One of the hacks that I've really liked over the last few years, I got an air mattress for the back seat of my truck that turns my back seat basically into a twin bed.
Okay.
And so like I can sleep on the X. I'm not wasting money on hotels. It's super comfortable because it's flat. Like no back seats are flat anymore.
Right.
And it's really padded. Like it turns that whole area. And I'm a big dude. I'm like 6'2", and I can sleep like laying flat in a sleeping bag. So that one was like $70 on Amazon. And so whenever I'm doing solo run and gun, especially warm weather, but I've slept in it down to 13 below, it's just awesome. Like way better than tenting, way better than spending, like lately hotels are like $100-150 a night.
Right.
So if I'm doing like a shed hunt, it's like, okay, do I really want to spend $300 just on a hotel for this every weekend? So that's the one that I've been really loving that purchase. Like, and it's just something simple.
Yeah. Dude, I saw an advertisement for that. And the only reason I haven't picked one up yet is because I, like you, I am 6'1", somewhere in there. And I, with my truck, I got a big, a quad cab, full quad cab, not a mega cab, but a quad cab, Dodge Ram. And I don't know, I haven't tried it yet, but I don't know if I can lay down all the way head to toe in there without having to curl up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm generally not like a flat back sleeper, but it's nice to be able to stretch out. So what I do, because I am tall, I have an F-150 crew cab. So I put one seat all the way forward.
Ah, yeah.
Where my feet side is. And then I put like I have a Sitka duffel that I put all my gear in. And I just stuff that kind of in the hole it makes. And that is just in, like your feet, like my actual foot doesn't need that much support.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like it's perfect. They might dangle off a little bit, but that cushion is there. And that's how I, if I need to stretch out, because like let's face it, after a long day of hunting, it's nice to stretch out. You don't want to be like cramped in a tuna can. So it works for me. Like if you were 6'6", like this could definitely be an issue,
right?
But if you're 6'2" or under and you've got like a full-size American-made pickup, I think there's good chance you'll be able to figure it out in your system.
Yeah, definitely something I'm looking into, because the truck I just bought does not have a topper on it, and that's where I've slept the last however many years I've gone out west, has been in the bed of my truck with a topper on it. I'm not going to invest in that, because I was looking for a truck, I was looking for something with a 6 foot bed or and a half foot bed. Well, they hardly make those in newer models anymore, unless you're looking for a long bed, and then you're looking at 9 foot, 9-10 feet. Then you got to add the topper on that. So it's just all this additional cost. So I am going to have to find new ways to sleep without having to go 40 miles into town on some of these spots and grab a hotel room. So I'm definitely looking into that one.
For sure. Yeah, and one of the things I love about it, like, you get so many added creature comforts with that system. And, like, it could sound soft, like I'm just not hardcore enough, but, like, there's a time and a place for being hardcore, but mm-hmm. sleeping is, like, really important. I think we're at an age where everyone can get on board with it. It's important to get good sleep when you're outside 16 hours a day.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And so, like, you get your back seat pockets to put your phone, a water bottle. You wake up in the morning, you hit the auto start button on the key fob, you go back to sleep for 5 minutes, and your whole cab is warm. Yeah. Like, you're changing, all your clothes warm up, your boots warm up, everything's warmed up. You're not dealing with, like, tent flaps blowing in the wind. Like, you got that hard wall. There's so many cool things that I like about it. I mean, and I've tested it multiple times down to 10, 15 below, 13 below, depending on, like, how accurate you think your truck gauge is. But
yeah.
Put a good bag on it, it works really well.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. That is gonna be my next top, or my first product that I absolutely love, and it is a product that is not cheap, and it doesn't necessarily matter what brand per se you decide to purchase, but out west, whether I'm in a tent, in the bed of my truck, you know, in the future could be sleeping in my cab just like you, is a very good sleeping bag. And this is not your Coleman that you buy at Walmart, right? The $30
princess.
Yeah, exactly. I think my last sleeping bag, and it's got a I talked with the guys before I bought it at the Western Mountaineering, and they're pretty much just like, hey man, if you take care of this thing, it'll last 20 years. Okay.
Yeah.
And so up front, the cost was $650. And that is, man, that's expensive, but it's going to last me the rest of my hunting career. And it's worth it, especially when the temperatures drop. Like, a couple years ago, I was in, I was in South Dakota. I was 2.5 miles from my truck, set up a spike camp. And then went out further than that, got back, and I had a sleeping bag, but the temperature dropped lower than what I thought it was going to, or at least what I researched. And the entire night I was shivering and cold. New year, new hunt, new sleeping bag. And it's a zero. It is a zero degree bag. And I can be as warm or as cool as I want, depending on how far I unzip the bag. If it's freezing cold out, mummy hood comes on, and I'm completely comfortable in it. So the one thing that I absolutely love is my Western Mountaineering bag, and that will come with me whether I'm in a truck or in a tent every hunt I go on out of state.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands for the super athletic stuff, like running gear for cruising up the trail.
Woo!
And the super athlete-ish stuff, like fishing gear for chilling by the creek. Nice cast. Fitness apparel to push for higher reps. You got this. And golf balls priced so you can afford to lose one. Or a few. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athlete-ish, Sierra's got it.
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Yeah, that price tag is definitely the backpacking price tag. When you want a super quality warm bag for backpacking, you a lightweight, small, that unfortunately is the price you pay.
Yep.
I have two. I'm very modular. I like a lot of modular gear. So I have a backpacking bag that's focused on that. And then my general run of the mill, if I'm not base camping or truck camping, I use the Browning McKinley bags, the 0 degree Browning McKinley. It's a modified mummy. It's got nice thick insulation padding. It's almost like thick enough that you wouldn't need an air pad. Mm-hmm. It's $100, $150, something in there. Like if yeah. someone's just looking for like a base camp option, they're not really wanting to spend $600. Like that's a solid bag. And then like on sleeping, here's a hack that I started doing on these ultra cold nights. I bring in my like Arctic Shield or whatever type of boot cover you have for like your whitetail late season hunts.
Yep.
Put those in the bottom of your bag and then put your feet in them. And like your feet will never be cold again. And once your feet are roasting, like the rest of your body doesn't get cold.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Multiple use. I love having products that you can use in multiple different scenarios like that.
Yeah.
Like I love that.
Yeah, I started doing that because like in a modified mummy, like any unused space is cold pockets.
Right.
So then you like you move your feet around, your feet are always getting cold. Those things take up all the cold pockets, but they also double the insulation on your feet. So your feet get pretty warm. If you're like a warm foot person, you might just modify it down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not that person. My feet never sweat. And so it's just like a little heater at the base of my sleeping bag.
Yeah. Yeah. Hack. Here's a hack. Do you keep your hunting, like your base layers in the bottom of your sleeping bag when you sleep at night?
When it's really cold, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, when it's, I've thought about like some of these. Like, I did a tent one time at 13 below, and I thought about wearing my boots to bed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I couldn't decide what to do. Like, I'm like, is that a bad idea or not? Because you want your feet to dry out.
Yeah.
And so I decided not to. And then I was like, oh, I have these boot covers in the bottom of my truck. And so I dug them out kind of as like a snow emergency kit. And I threw those in. And that's how I learned about that hack. Because, like, I need something on my feet, but I don't want it to be my boots.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, what is your next product?
I think this one, it kind of goes without saying, so we probably don't need to spend a lot of time on it, but, like, you want tools. Like, I don't have a topper like you. I have a truck toolbox that has, like, everything I'd ever need in it. In there, I have jack stands, a bottle jack. I have a set of four chains, which I think is really important if you're Western hunting, especially, like, rifle seasons, because... Mm-hmm. It gets pretty Western pretty fast.
Right.
And so I have four chains that stay in my truck all season long. They've saved my butt so many times, even in like Minnesota shed hunting where I sink a few tires into the mud too deep.
Yeah.
If I can get chains on anything that has like remotely hard ground underneath, I usually get out.
Yeah.
So that, but then the nice thing is like I have a Craftsman box that's got pretty much like 1/4 inch, 3/8 inch, 1/2 inch drive, wrenches, screwdrivers. Like it's just what that one box, it's like one of those 144 piece sets, but that just fits right in there. And so I just know like if that box is in there, I'm basically going to be able to fix anything that I'm capable of fixing.
Yeah.
Like if I'm capable of fixing it, that'll get me there. I have like a tire wrench too for tires, like mm-hmm. bigger stuff. But, you know, obviously there's a point, like I'm not a mechanic, but there's some things where you just want to be able to fix it quick.
Right.
So
right.
That's a big one for me.
Or jimmy it enough to get you out of wherever you're at and into town
yeah.
to go talk to a professional.
Yeah, like my wind baffle fell off one time on the way to South Dakota on the interstate. And so I crawled under there with a 1/4 inch drive and like took all the rest of it off. So it's not just flapping underneath. All mm-hmm. It's just simple stuff. But like don't go out west without like thinking things will go wrong because things usually go wrong.
Right, right. I'm going to knock on wood. And by me saying this, things are going to go wrong. When I do this, but
yeah.
Man, I've had other than this past year trying to cross a cattle gate, right? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Roll bars.
Yep. The bars. I bought
a free range gate. Yeah.
Yeah. I bottomed out really hard on one of those because it was eroded on each side of the gate.
Oh.
And so I was trying to come at it at an angle, and then once I got on it, you know, kind of turn the wheels and kind of straighten out, and then because what got me high centered was the fact that I went at it straight, and then they're not wide enough between
yeah.
the length of my wheels, and I came down on it and it just went and then I had to put it in 4-wheel drive and basically drag my entire bottom of my truck across this gate until my back wheels hit and popped up. It was
cringeworthy.
Cringe for sure.
Good thing that's not your new truck.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Like your heart would just
yeah, exactly. There goes the transmission just getting ripped right out of the bottom of it.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a great one. I'm going to go to a cooking side of thing. And I don't have this yet. but it's high on my list. Not only can I use it for camping, if I ever decide to go camping with my kids.
I have a feeling I know what you're going to say, because it's on my list too.
Okay. I always cook all of my meals post-hunt, pre-hunt. I don't ever cook meal. It's out of a wrapper or a bag or an apple or something. And then I pretty much just munch and snack all day with maybe like a Ziploc bag of trail mix or something like that. But when I get home, I'll light up the camp stove, right? And you know, the little
Coleman or whatever.
Jet boils or whatever.
Oh, jet boil.
Jet boil, yeah. They have these things now. They're about, I want to say 2 foot by 2 foot, almost looks like a square. Half of it is a flat iron, half of it is an actual grill. You can set a pot on it, or you can cook steaks right on it. And it's a Coleman, and you use the little portable propane tanks that are about the size of a bottle of pop.
And so, like a 1 pound there.
Yeah, exactly. I want one of those because I feel there's something. You know, having a warm meal after a long hunt is really awesome, but there's something about taking time and cooking at the end of the day that allows you to just kind of relax a little bit. And I want options. I don't just want to boil some water, dump it in a bag, and you're eating. Dude, number one, the amount of sodium that is.
Yeah, you're just eating sodium at that point.
Exactly. It's all sodium. And so I want to grab some chicken breasts. I want to, you know, stir fry some vegetables or something like that. And
hopefully, man, you're grilling back straps.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. That would be so sweet to, you know, kill a deer or an elk or an antelope or whatever, take it back to the truck and cook it right there that night. That would be sweet.
Yeah. So I was a little off, but I have a Traeger that I bring.
I've got a little stand,
it's the Traeger Ranger, so it's like it's 2 feet by 2 feet by maybe a foot.
Okay.
And it's like it's the size of like you could put your laptop or like a 9x13 baking dish on. That's how big the grate is, but it's electric pellet grill, so you have like perfect control on your temperature. It's small, it's compact. The fuel, like I'll fill the hopper full of pellets for especially like a 3-4 day hunt. No issues at all with running out of fuel. So that part's kind of nice. I personally think it works a little bit better at extreme colds than propane because propane can freeze up.
Yep.
Although propane is nice because it's like instant heat. Mm-hmm. But here's the kicker. So like a lot of your new trucks, they already come with a 110 inverter. Usually they're like 400 watt.
Yep.
This thing draws 280 watts, so you run it right off your truck. I've grilled on it multiple times driving down the road.
That's crazy.
I'll shed hunt.
A window down and you're cooking while you're driving?
Well, it's in the pickup of my – it's in the back of my pickup.
Okay.
I have the middle window in the back windshield, so I can slide that open like an inch and put an extension cord through it. The new trucks usually have 110 in the box for, like, contractors and stuff.
Right.
And so I'll like, especially shed season, it's my favorite. Like for lunch and shed season, I'll hit one spot, walk back to the truck. Like the next spot's 20 minutes away. I'll start the pellet grill, put a pizza on it, drive to the next spot. When I get there, the pizza's done.
Right. That's awesome. That's pretty sweet, dude.
Yeah.
Except
I love that thing.
Except when you bottom out over, cattle gates and all the food is just stuck to the top of it.
Well, I did it the first time I tried it. We were food plotting, and I did burgers and brats, and we went from one farm to the other. I started it. I put the stuff on, got to the next farm. Everything was like, you got to figure out the timing a little bit.
Right.
It was like an extra 60 seconds, so there's like a little bit of extra grill marks, which is fine.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, oh, I probably shouldn't have tested this out next to 400 pounds of fertilizer, 2 diesel cans, and a gas can.
Yeah. Hey, the next product we're going to be talking about is fire extinguishers, right?
Yeah, fire extinguishers. But yeah, so I have a Traeger and a Blackstone. Depending on the trip, I'll bring both even. Yeah. Like if I know I'm going to use the Blackstone and I know I'm going to use the Traeger. Like I really do think that there's certain things that are phenomenal on flat irons, like breakfast. Mm-hmm. And then there's certain things you want to grill for, like steaks, right? Like you can cook steaks on a Blackstone, but it doesn't really work. The Traeger does have a flat iron. Like, I can switch out the grill for the flat iron. So sometimes I don't need it, but.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great, man. That's great. I'm going to look into those. While you were talking, I Googled it and took a look at it, and it does look pretty compact. Can you smoke in that as well?
Yeah. It's like full. I think it starts at 165, and I've had mine up to 400. I don't know what the max temp is, maybe 500, 450.
Yeah.
So you could smoke on it. You could, the pellet, like, I don't know if you wanted to do like a 14 hour, thing, yeah. You might have to refill the hopper, but it would fit like a pork butt or mm-hmm. a small brisket on it. So like, if you don't have a pellet grill at home at all, it could be like your little temporary solution.
That's awesome.
Because I know the big pellet grills are like it's just stupid how much they're charging for like a full size Traeger now.
Yeah. I looked at one at Shields the other day, and they are pretty crazy expensive.
Like $2,000.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. My turn. Is it my turn? I think so. Mm-hmm. I just had it and I forgot it. Let's see here. What was I going to talk about? Oh, I know what it was. Okay. I feel like I'm shitting on Coleman here, but like, they're sleeping bags that I'm not going to buy for what I do. They're great for camping or whatever with the kids. And Coleman's, maybe I'll use a Coleman cooler if I ever go tailgating again. Okay.
Right. But, 4 hours.
Exactly. But coolers are important, especially if you want to keep things somewhat cold, or you bring turkey meat or stuff for sandwiches or whatever you do. And there's not too much to discuss here, but I say this because I got one for a Christmas present. My dad bought me a cooler, and I had been having to go back into town whenever I would need more ice on my hunts. And that would be every couple, every day or three if I never opened it. But I got a cooler. It's not a Yeti. It's not a Grizzly.
Is it Ozark Mountain?
I'm not sure. It could be. It's gray with blaze orange handles on it.
Yeah, it's an Ozark Trail. I have the same one.
Oh, okay. And those work, man. Those work awesome. It's not huge, so I have to pick and choose what I put in there. But what I do is I'll take a gallon of milk, and a milk gallon, and then I'll put water in it. I'll freeze it, and that's what keeps everything cool. I don't put free ice in it, and then I just use that to keep the inside cool throughout the entire week. And I've had ice in that thing for an entire week. It has worked for a five day hunt perfectly. So if you're going to go do this and you don't want to eat bag, because I like to have some carrots. I like to have fiber, like in apples and bananas and things like that, because if I only eat the bag meals or those types of, whether it's for breakfast.
Yeah, your guts get flipped upside down real fast.
Exactly. And so there has to be some kind of sense of normality. And it's not that it doesn't, my guts get upside down. For me, my guts just stop working, and there's a clog at the end of the drain, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And nothing happens until in order for me to stay regular, I got to eat an apple or a banana or some type of vegetables to keep it all moving. So long story short, cooler.
Yeah.
Highly recommend.
We're leaving today and entering a world of Mickey Mouse waving, princess meeting and greeting, lightsaber clashing, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror dropping, Banshee flying, Space Mountain launching, galaxy rewinding, what's the whole deck with galaxy rewinding, fireworks igniting, world of other worlds, for whatever you love. Infinite worlds await at the most magical place on Earth, Walt Disney World Resort.
My day kicks off with a refreshing Celsius energy drink, then straight to the gym. Pre-K pickup, back home to meal prep. Time for my fire station shift. One more Celsius, gotta keep the lights on. When the 3-alarm hits, I'm ready. Celsius, live, fit, go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
Yeah, so the Ozark Trail, for anyone that's curious, it's a Walmart-branded cooler, but it's a roto-molded cooler, so it's like the same performance and stuff as you would get in a Yeti. I've got the 73 quart, which is actually bigger than most Yetis, and I love it. It's got like a 2-inch drain and a 1-inch drain, so you can really empty it if you need to. Lots of cool stuff about it. And I keep, I love that thing. I do half-gallon ice chunks. I have like 6 of them in my freezer. And the nice thing, I filled those suckers up like 4 years ago, and I just put them in my freezer, and I put them back in the chest freezer. I put them in my cooler, put them back in, and I haven't ever refilled them. But one of the things I've always wanted to design and develop, because every cooler, every modern cooler's got a drain plug, I would love to design like a insert that you put in the bottom of your cooler, you run a wire out the drain plug and then like seal it, and then you plug that in, and like while you're driving, it's like an electronic freeze packet,
like air conditioning or
in a way, but that's got a compressor. Like there's ways you can do like electronic, too much science here, but there's electronic things you could do to cool things off. But yeah, that'd be sweet.
Or here's an idea out of nowhere. A filter in the bottom of your cooler so that as things melt and in there, you can put that little filter in, drain it into a drinking water.
Oh, yeah. So you're not drinking blood water?
Yeah, blood water or like, I don't know, a turkey juice or I don't know. I don't know. That's stupid.
I don't think you could pay me to drink most of the water that comes out of your cooler at the end of a trip.
Exactly. I'm saying
I'd have to have a lot of faith in that filter.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's a big one.
Yeah, for sure. Any other? Okay. You have a next one.
Oh, I've got a lot. I'm a gear junkie.
Hey, let's go. Let's go, because I don't want this to take all day. Let's go highest, most important.
Well, so here's a fast one.
Okay.
Toilet seat, man. Like
a bumper toilet clip seat? On
anything. Just like I've got one that clips on a 5-gallon pail. I put a contractor bag inside of it. That's my, bathroom all week. When I'm done, I tie that contractor bag off, and unfortunately the first gas station on the way back gets an addition to their dumpster. But like just being able to sit on a toilet seat.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, dude.
Like, one doesn't need a lot of explanation. I think everyone gets it.
No, my buddy had one that it's the it's called the
hitch of your truck.
I think it's called the sit and shit. Is actually
at least like the toilet seat, you feel a little bit environmentally friendly because you're taking it with you.
Right.
But it's ending up in the landfill anyway. So that's just fast one. Also on top of my list, it's becoming more and more important all the time. A Euro kit. Like if you're one of those guys that doesn't want to shoulder mount everything and you want to do Euro mounts, like just legally pretty much now it's almost impossible to travel between any two states between both states CWD regs without boiling a skull. So I've got a Euro kit that I bring with so I can do a boil.
Yeah, that's great. That's a necessity at some point.
Yeah, basically at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to think of anything that goes into like in my vehicle or stays at camp. And this is something really simple. This is a rug. Okay.
Oh yeah.
A rug that you can set outside of your car or your tent door. So when you get out in the morning, maybe you set your boots on it. It's not directly on the grass and the dew and all that stuff. Or you come back from a hunt and you want to take your shoes off. And for example, in South Dakota, dude, there's cactus and sharp, it's cactus, but there's also that sharp needle grass.
Yeah.
And man, you just, even stepping out on that in a pair of socks can ruin your entire day. I've learned all those lessons the hard way. So a simple rug. Sometimes maybe it has a rubber bottom on it, or it can just be one of those, I don't know, some kind of entry type rugs, home entry rugs. You just lay that down, right at the bed of your truck, or you roll it up and you put it back in your bed when you're not using it. But something to just stand on without your boots on to keep your feet from touching the ground.
I've got like 4 of them. Rolled up, ready to go, 6x2 footers. I put them down the length of my cots when we're tenting and everywhere, man. Like, that's a big one. It's like, that's probably in the category that we will get some comments about being too soft on. But when you when you feel both sides of it, when you step on that rock or that cactus and then you have that rug, you get it. Like, you'll understand.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, and none of these things that we're talking about, it's either an upgrade from something that you already have, or the profile of it, like a rug, is so small that you can stuff yeah. under your seat. You can stuff anything like that. Now, a caveat to that would be a tarp. And so depending on, like, I have a bed, or excuse me, I'm sucking at podcasting today. I'm sorry. I had a topper. And so, I would get out, you know, drop the bed, open the door, yeah. the window to the, topper, get out, and I'd stand right there at the end of the bed. Problem. If I am trying to, I don't know, get dressed and it's raining or sprinkling or something like that, I'm getting wet instantly. Okay. And yeah. so, or getting everything ready for that hunt or coming back in the rain. And it's kind of a nightmare. So I've found a way to create kind of like a little lean to with just a regular tarp you can buy just about anywhere off the back of my truck. I can get under there. I can sit down there underneath of it and eat my supper. Yeah. I can get dressed. I can dry out, and I'm not having to go into my truck to do all those things.
Yeah, I just do it in the truck. I'm laying on the air mattress, getting dressed, hanging my bow from the coat hanger. That works pretty good, actually. You just clip your string into that coat hanger hook, and you can hang your bow. So I've slept like that when it's raining too hard to leave it out back. That's a good one. I was just going to say, like, anything to top it off, like, anything you need to go back to town for, like, gas cans, I like those big 5-gallon water, those blue water things, because, like, you're like, oh, you know, I could go get some gas, or I could go get some water. Like, you're not hunting. Yeah. Like, you're just looking for an excuse to go to town.
Yeah, exactly. I always load up on gallons of water before I leave, and I usually take, like, 8 gallons of water, and you'd be surprised how fast you go through water when it is.
Especially when you're cooking.
Exactly, and it's available. Like, when it's available. Yeah. Now, I've been on hunts where water is not available, and I was, you know, out on a spike camp, and I had to go down to a dried up, basically, mud hole, filter that out. And filtering is great, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the water is going to taste great. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever makes water taste bad is smaller than your viruses and your bacteria, because it still tastes like cows.
Exactly. I mean, it's not going to hurt you. And then you would put some of those. So this water was mud, right? And so I had to I filtered it. And then I put, just to be safe, those tablets.
Aquamira tabs.
Yeah. In there as well. And that made it taste really delicious, but I wasn't thirsty and I could cook with it. It didn't change the food itself, but anything else? What else you got for us?
That's the big stuff, man. That's typically what I'm thinking about. The boot dryer one, I think, you don't need it till you need it, and there's no replacement if you do. So
yeah,
it depends. I've rolled the dice on short hunts. You know, if it rains, I'm going to put up with it for a day and a half. But, like, on a longer hunt, either backup boots or a way to dry boots. Like, you got to have.
Yeah. I always bring I bring both. I bring a pair of backups. And now the boot dryer that I have does not plug into a cigarette lighter or one of those converters. I have to use it if I go into town in a hotel room. So I'm always bringing that and an extra pair of boots.
Yeah, they make propane boot lighters too. If they tip over, they melt, just FYI. But even like a couple Sunday newspapers go a long ways to drying boots out. If you stuff those things full of paper and then get some airflow on the top, it's like a radiator to suck that moisture out.
Yeah, that's great.
But just something, like just like wet feet. I mean, that's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, no, I think that I was looking at my list before this, man, and you know, a lot of it, like, those simple things that are easy to overlook can, like, really make or break a hunt. Like, everyone knows, like, rifle, bullets, pack, binos, that stuff's a given. But yeah, some of these other things can just really, it's like a cherry on top of your hunt.
So depending on, I'm just going to say one last thing, and it's something that I was taught a while ago from someone who's hunted out west. And that is you know how, I don't know about you, but you've probably packed out something and you're just absolutely exhausted when you get back to the truck.
Mm, yeah.
Okay. Yep. And so, yeah. And so there is a, and the reason I say this is because, what was it? 2004. I don't even remember what year it was. My buddy shot a gigantic bodied mule deer and we each had 100 pounds on our back. We traveled 3.5 miles. You know, it wasn't like alpine country, but it was up and down, and 100 pounds on your back is a lot of weight, to the point where like I felt like I was mentally defeated by the time I got back to the truck. And I had waiting there for me at my truck, Snickers candy bar and a Gatorade. And that necessarily isn't any type of piece of gear, but what that did was that sugar hits your body and it just gives you enough energy to finish doing what you're doing and get into town or get home or start the drive or having to go back for a second trip to get the rest of your meat or gear that you had to leave behind. And so that right there is something that I've always done as well.
Yeah, that's one I probably don't. I don't do a good job thinking about like the celebratory beer, the candy bar. I always forget that stuff. I've done 4 loads in a day once. My record's 146-pound pack out. That was an elk rear and an elk front on a big bull. And yeah, I don't have that. My go-to is just like that cheeseburger.
Oh yeah.
Like that's what I'm thinking about.
Exactly. I tell you what, it was funny. After that, we went into town and I stopped at Subway and I stopped at Taco Bell.
Both of them. Yeah.
Both of them to get, once we got back at like, I don't know, it was like 11 o'clock at night and we got back, we got back into town and I just absolutely destroyed food because I was just so, I felt like I was withering away.
Yeah, for me, it's not the fast food chains. It's that, like, Western Bar and Grill cheeseburger, bacon cheeseburger basket, double patty, extra fries. Like, I want that line-cooked meal. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'll eat anything at that point. But it's not like I'm looking for Domino's or Subway. I want that, like, home – like that. It's not home style. But I want that Bar and Grill feel, like, where there's deer on the wall type of thing.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So, well, hey, man, short, sweet, to the point. Really appreciate you taking time out of your day to hop on and do this. If you haven't already, go check out the Western Rookie podcast and the Two Bucks podcast that Brian hosts. Awesome podcast. And Brian, man, thank you very much for your time. Thanks for talking gear with us today and good luck this upcoming season, man.
Heck yeah. Thanks for having me on here. Excited to see what this fall holds for both of us.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.